If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we've been in a series called Divine Benefits. Last week, we took a break from that to do, the message was Cultivate Forward, and that was about our, Harvest Sunday was last Sunday, and it's the launch into our new year, and we kind of all came on the same page. It was about our vision and mission and what we're all about. And if you missed that or you were not here and you'd want to listen back to that, I encourage you to go on our website. You can subscribe to our podcast, and you can hear all of my messages there. And but this is the last sermon in this series, Divine Benefits. So there are five benefits that we've covered so far, and they've been the benefit of forgiveness, and then we've covered the benefit of health and healing, and then redemption, and then crowning and reigning in this life. Okay, you remember those? And this week, the title of the message is Divine Satisfaction. Divine Satisfaction. So what does it mean? Here's the question. What does it mean when God satisfies you? What does that mean? And that's what I want us to learn today. You're at Psalm 103. We're going to begin. We're going to read all the benefits. I'm going to ask, if you would, to stand in the honor of reading of God's Word. But before we do, at Cultivate Church, we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the truth of the Word of God to us. So I'm going to kneel, and we pray, asking Him to do that work in us today. Would you do that? So, Father, we come to You, and we ask that You remove any and all distractions from us hearing and understanding the Word of God. Whatever that click is that keeps happening, would You take it away right now so it won't distract any of us, okay? Whatever it is. And so, Father, would we focus in on Your face? Holy Spirit, would You have free reign in this room, and would You move all around? Move all around. Move all around, God. And I empty myself before You today, and I ask that You fill me, Your servant, to overflowing. And change our lives, God. Change us, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay. Okay, I hear it's me, that my mic is not plugged in all the way. So here we go. All right. Here we go. Psalm 103. We're reading together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, I just want to remind you, David, the psalmist here, is reminding his soul to bless the Lord. That's what he's reminding. He's reminding his soul, I need to bless the Lord. Okay, I need to remember. Heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, and who satisfies your mouth, here it is, with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Now, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I've got to hold a mic, because you know I like to use my hands. All right, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? So I have four questions about divine satisfaction, and these four questions are going to be my points today, okay? So here's point number one. Here's the first question. What is satisfaction? What is satisfaction? All right, I want to dive right in, and I want to tell you the Hebrew definition for the word satisfaction. It means to be made full, to be made full, to be so full, in fact, that you're on the verge of overflowing. That's what it literally means. In other words, God wants to satisfy you with good things so that you're on the verge of overflowing. That's what that benefit means. In fact, if you dig into the nuances in the Hebrew, it is so full. Here's what it really means. It is so full that you're on the verge of being weary of all the good things. Isn't that an awesome picture? It's almost like you're getting tired of all the good things. That's how much it is. The Hebrew kind of paints that picture. Probably the best illustration that I could have thought of when I thought of you and about this fact would be, I came up with the way that some of you might act when you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet, when you go there. See, when I know how some of, I know how I am, and I know how some of you can be. You go to an all-you-can-eat buffet, and you just load up. I mean, you load up, and you're so satisfied. Sometimes some of you leave oversatisfied. You know what I'm saying? You know. Okay. Now, in many translations, and in this that we read, it reads, "Who satisfies your mouth with good things." The translation in your Bible, it might read, "Your life or desires." It satisfies your life with good things, or your desires with good things. And even one translation says, "Your old age with good things." Okay? It's interesting, in all of the translations, he never says, "Who satisfies your heart with good things," even though we know that out of the heart flows the mouth. We know that. It probably relates to the heart in some way as well, because we know out of the heart comes what comes out of your mouth. But in even all those translations, it never says that he satisfies your soul, although we know he does. But it says he satisfies your mouth. In the Hebrew, the word that they use for mouth is a very unique Hebrew word. In fact, it's only used 13 times. In the 39 books in the Old Testament, it's only used 13 times. It's translated in two ways. Twice, it's translated just mouth. The other 11 out of the 13 times, it's translated, and it's not going to make much sense when I tell you, but I'll explain it to you. But in the other 11 times, it's translated ornaments. Ornaments. Now, that blesses you, doesn't it? That clears a lot of things up. And when I read, see, I thought, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Because when you look up the word mouth, it comes up mouth and then semicolon ornaments, and then it kind of digs in there. Well, there's a reason. The word mouth in the Hebrew, it actually literally means horse mouth ornaments. Horse mouth ornaments. Now, our English word, the closest English word that we have to the word, is the word bridle. You with me? Bridle. That's what it actually means, a bridle. All right? Now, a bridle on a horse, think about a show horse. Have you ever seen a show horse? And they're all decked out, and they have their saddle on, and they have the bridle on. And the bridle, it includes the bit, it includes the reins, it includes all the ornaments that are all over the jewels that hang down, and that little piece right there on top of their forehead. All the trinkets, that's what it is referring to. That's the picture that the Hebrew word paints for this word mouth or bridle. Here's another scripture where the same word is used. In Psalm 23:9, you don't have to turn there, but it's on the screen. It says, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." Okay, so there's another place where it's using that word. Here's the idea used in the New Testament. In James chapter 3, verse 2, here's what James says about this same concept, but it's in the Greek. He says, "For we stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Instead, we put bits in horses' mouths so that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." Do you get the picture of what he's saying there? He's saying about the mouth, if we control the mouth, then we can control the whole body. Bit in the mouth, that's the idea that he's talking about. If the mouth is bridled, the body is bridled. You with me? Okay. If the mouth is controlled, the life is under obedience to the person holding the reins. You follow me? Okay, you with me? This is the same idea that the psalmist is referring to in Psalm 103, "Who satisfies your mouth with good things." Here's what he's saying. God satisfies the person with a controlled life with good things. That's what it's saying. When you think about a mouth, we often think about two things. We think about our words that come out of our mouth, and we think of our appetites. Not just appetites with food, but appetites just in general. Do you know what another word for appetite is? Another word is the word desires. The word desires. I want you to listen carefully. If your appetites or your desires you'll never be satisfied. You'll never, if they're unbridled, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never experience this benefit. It's amazing to me how God uses in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Old Testament's in Hebrew, New Testament is in Greek, because these languages are so descriptive, they're unlike the English language. And so it's important that we dig in, but it's amazing to me how one single Hebrew or Greek word communicates so much. Here's what he's saying in this passage to us. He says, yes, I'm going to satisfy your mouth with good things, but let me tell you what kind of mouth that I will satisfy, the mouth that learns to be under control. So he satisfies our controlled mouth with good things. In other words, you could say it this way: we're satisfied by the way of the bridle. When God is holding the reins, when we're wearing his bridle, wearing his ornaments, led by his bit, then we will be satisfied. That's what satisfaction means. Now here's question number two. Here's question number two. Who satisfies? Who satisfies? Now, I want to go back to look at all the benefits for just a minute. All right? Who forgives? Who frees us? Who heals you? Who redeems us? Who crowns us? Who does? You tell me. Okay. And God, the Lord, also is the one who satisfies. God is the only one who can satisfy us. You will never be satisfied by anyone or anything other than God. You never will be. You never will be. I want to show you some scriptures. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in his heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. Psalm 145:16 says, you, referring to the Lord, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. See, I need you to hear me. I need you to hear me. Nothing or no one can satisfy you except the Lord. He is the only one. If you're looking at a new job promotion, or maybe even a new house to satisfy, or a move to a new city for a fresh start, or maybe a raise in your job, or a new husband, or a new wife, or a new car, doesn't matter, a new situation, a new recognition that you need on you, whatever you're looking for, I'm telling you, it is all temporary and it will not satisfy. Only the eternal can satisfy, and the Lord is eternal. He's the only one that can satisfy your life. You can be in an unsatisfying job, you can be in an unsatisfying season of life and still be satisfied, because you have an ongoing, vital, passionate, head over heels relationship with Jesus Christ. See, that's how you can be in a bad situation and still be satisfied. You hearing me? Okay. How many of us would describe our relationship with Jesus as ongoing, vital, passionate, and head over heels? See, how many of you would describe it that you can't wait to be with him when your feet hit the ground in the morning? You can't wait to hear what he has to say to you. Your only desire is to please him and obey him. You're surrendering your life afresh and anew every single day. See, how many of us can say that? Because here's the deal. If all you get from God is what I serve to you at Cultivate Church, if the only word that you receive from the Lord every week is his word that I deliver to you right here on Sunday mornings, then you will not be in an ongoing, vital, passionate, head over heels relationship with Jesus Christ. You just won't be. That's not how it works. And can I tell you why? I'll tell you right now, you are most likely lacking satisfaction in your life. If I'm the only thing you get in what I say on Sunday mornings, is this all you get of God and his word? You will not be satisfied. You won't be. If you're looking for things to get better and the season to change, I'm just hoping the season will change. And your desire to be satisfied, and you're making the moves, you're holding the reins of the bridle, your life, and you're going from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, and you're striving to make the changes that are necessary for your life to be satisfied. I'm telling you right now, you will never find it. You will never find it. The benefit of divine satisfaction is found only when you get serious about Jesus. When you get serious about His Word, and when you spend time with Him, when you abide with Him, when you want to get to know Him, when you want to be surrendered to Him and surrounded by Him, and you say, here it is, take the reins of my life, take them right now, Holy Spirit, I surrender to You. There must be more than this, and He comes in. I'm telling you, Jesus is the only one who will ever give you satisfaction when you come to Him that way. That's the only, only way. Here's question number three. What is the result of satisfaction? Now, I raise this question because on all the benefits, on who forgives, who heals, who redeems, who crowns, who satisfies, it gives a result, and it gives a result, and it says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Remember, it says that. Now, before I want to show you about, I want to show you in Proverbs 30, verse in Proverbs 30. And this passage is talking about generations. Okay, it's talking about different generations. And I think it could be talking about any generation, really. But it sounds like it totally could be talking about the generation we're in right now. And I want to read this passage to you from Proverbs 30. It's starting in verse 11. Here it is. It says, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. I want you to think about this generation. I want you to think about this. See, it seems like more and more and more in this generation than any other, it's what is considered evil we call good. You know what I'm saying? What God called an abomination, we legislate, and we call it good. I've never known it. Look at verse 13. There is a generation, oh, how lofty their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. That's talking about their pride and arrogance. That's what that means. And there is a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. And what this is talking about is the harsh words and the sarcasm of the generation. And all right, now this next verse is going to give the cause and the why. Verse 15, it says, the leech has two daughters, give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied. So he gives this analogy. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four never say enough. So really four. I just like the way he says that. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. Those four things he gives. Those things are never satisfied. All right? Now, he's given the four analogies of natural things that are not satisfied. But then he's comparing it, the grave, the barren woman, the earth, water, and fire. Okay? Those are the four analogies he gives. But what he's doing is he's talking about a generation that is prideful, disobedient to parents, calls the impure, pure, sharp words, and sarcasm. So he's putting those two together. You see him? He's using that analogy to describe what's happening in this generation. Why? Why is he doing that? Here's the reason. Here's why. It's because they're never satisfied. The generation is never satisfied. It's a lack of satisfaction. And because the attitude is always, and he says it like the leech, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Here's what we call it today. We use this word. We call it an entitled generation. An entitled generation. Entitled means that you believe that you deserve something no matter what you do. You believe that you deserve something no matter what you do. That's what entitlement means. Whether you work for it or not, you believe that you deserve it. You know the phrase we hear most often? We hear this word, this phrase thrown around. It's, that is my basic right to have that. You hear that? You hear that often. It's our basic right to have this and that. That's the phrase. Entitlement is a leech. Entitlement is a leech. Trying to get its life from someone or something else on earth rather than get its life from God. So here's what he's saying in this proverb passage. He's saying this generation is going to act like this. They're going to be entitled. They're going to be like leeches trying to suck the life out of everything that they can. But the reason they act like that is because they're never satisfied. The reason they're never satisfied is because they're looking for everyone and everything else to satisfy them. And they go from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, and I'm entitled to that, and I'm entitled to that, and I need that, and I need that, and I need that, and I need that. But only the Lord can satisfy. So who's the benefit? So what's the benefit? Or the result of the benefit of satisfaction? Our youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, this is God talking here, and God chose to use the eagle as the analogy here. All right, now let me just remind you of some things about the eagle. I didn't know all of this about the eagle. Maybe you don't either. Maybe you do. Maybe some of you are eagle connoisseurs. I don't know. Maybe you studied eagles in your graduate work. I don't know. But I didn't know some of this, but I thought this was interesting. God created the eagle with an average wingspan of 7 feet. The average eagle, the wingspan is 7 feet wide. That's incredible, okay? And it can carry twice its weight. The eagle can carry twice its weight. Eagle's eyes, I don't know this, eagle's eyes are the same size as human's eyes. Did you know that? Some of you are shaking your head like, yeah, I knew that. I didn't know that. But they have four times better eyesight than we do. Four times better eyesight than we do. And, you know, as we get older, our eyesight deteriorates. But eagle's eyesight never dim. They never deteriorate. Never. Even when it's old, their eyesight stays strong and consistent. And the eagle gets new feathers every year. Now, I had heard that, but it does. It gets new feathers every year, and God designed it that way. All right? Now, here's what he said. He says, your youth will be renewed like the eagle. So he's comparing what we can experience to the eagle. By the way, I learned this too. Did you know the number one cause of death of an eagle? Have you ever heard of the number one cause of death? It's drowning. An eagle, the number one cause is drowning. Do you know why? Have you ever seen a video of an eagle swoop down into a river and grab a fish and go up? Well, when an eagle swoops down, if it grabs a fish that's too big, the fish will pull it under the water and the eagle won't let go. And so it drowns the eagle. You know why? They've determined that the eagle is greedy because of greed. They always want the biggest catch. They always eye the biggest catch and go after the biggest catch. So they don't want a small catch. They're not satisfied with that. They want the biggest catch. And that's the biggest, number one, that's free. It has anything to do with anything. That's just a side note. But God said, I'm going to renew your youth like the eagles as long as you don't get greedy, apparently. And now for some of you, that's no big deal because you're in your youth already. But for some of us, that's a good plan to be renewed like the eagles, our youth to be renewed. Okay, so we are worn out adults. Here we go. That's good news. Satisfaction in Christ will bring renewal to you. That's the good news. It will revive you. Satisfaction from the Lord, it will revive you. And here's why. Because there's rest in satisfaction. There's rest there. There's joy in satisfaction. There's peace in satisfaction. When I know the Lord is good, when we know that the Lord is good, when we know that in our knower, that the Lord is good and that He has good plans for me, when we know that, and we know that He's in control and He's doing the heavy lifting of our lives, we don't have to carry that burden. And then we can soar. See, that's a new leash on life, isn't it? And just like the feathers of the eagle are renewed every year, God produces new and fresh things in our lives, and he teaches new things, and his mercies are new every day. He's replenishing, and he's restoring, and he's renewing. He does that. That's benefits that he gives us. We're benefiting from the benefits. And that's the result of satisfaction. That's why our youth is renewed like the eagles, because of what it does. And here's question number four. How do you receive satisfaction? Did you know that any gift that the Lord gives, any gift that comes from God, must be received in the same way? And it's always by grace through faith. Salvation is received by grace through faith. The releasing of the Holy Spirit or immersion, baptism in the Holy Spirit is released by grace through faith. The fruit of the Spirit is released by grace through faith. The gifts of the Spirit are released by grace through faith. Anything that we have that comes from God is given to us by grace through faith. Meaning we have to have faith to receive it. So we receive satisfaction by grace through faith. Now I'm going to share with you what I think that is the key here. All right. So I want you to follow me in my thinking, and then I'm going to back it up with Scripture, okay? But I want you to follow me. In many businesses, when you go to work for them, you'll ask, well, what are the benefits? I don't know of anybody that takes a job where they don't look at the benefits or ask, what are the benefits of this job, okay? And if you don't do that, you might want to do that, okay? Ask, because it matters, okay? You might want to do that. But many employers, they'll provide benefits for full-time employers, but they don't often provide benefits for part-time employers. You know what I'm saying? Okay, that's normal. Okay, they're for both. All right, now, I was thinking about this, and I just want to pose this question. Is it possible that divine benefits are for full-time believers? Not in the sense that we're workers, but do you remember the Pharisee that asked Jesus, tell us the work of God and what we must do? And do you remember Jesus' reply to him when Jesus said, this is the work that you believe? Remember when Jesus said that? He told him, all you have to do, your full-time job, is to believe. That's the work you do. Now, so are these benefits within the context of this passage of redemption and healing and reigning in life and forgiveness and living satisfied lives, are these benefits for full-time believers? Is the reason I ask this question because here's what I know. You'll never be happy or satisfied being a part-time Christian. You know that? Okay? You'll never be satisfied if you're part-time with the Lord. You'll never experience the healing in your life. You will never reign in this life. You will never take authority over the enemy in this life. It never happens when you're part-time in it with the Lord. That's what I know. The benefits of satisfaction and redemption and healing and reigning and forgiveness, and these come to those who fully make an investment with the Savior, who fully give everything, who fully believe, and you're in both feet. Both feet, I'm in. And I wonder how many people are not satisfied with God, and God is saying to them, well, have you accepted my Son? And if you have you given everything? Have you given your everything? Are you fully invested? And was the last time that you invested in my word? When was the last time that you invested fully in prayer? When was the last time you invested fully in worship? Now, I want to prove this in Scripture that you're satisfied when you give all. I want to prove that so that you don't think I'm crazy. In Isaiah 53, here's what it says. It's the most common messianic chapter in the Bible. Now, messianic chapter means that it's a chapter in the Old Testament with prophecies about the Messiah that Jesus fulfilled. That's what makes it a messianic chapter or messianic prophecy, okay? By the way, messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, Jesus has fulfilled every single one of them. Every single one. There's not one that's left unfulfilled. Did you know that? Okay. But I want you to look at this. It says this in Isaiah 53:11. It says, he shall see the labor of his soul and be, what's the word? Satisfied. The labor of his soul. That's a prophetic word. About who? Jesus. All right, now, the old King James Version says travail. The travail of his soul will be satisfied. Okay, so now what does that mean? Now, if we look at verse 12 of this verse, it says, he poured out his soul unto death. Jesus poured out his soul unto death. That's when he was satisfied. You remember when he said on the cross, it is finished? You remember when he said that? My work is finished. What you've required is satisfied. Now, Jesus was satisfied when he gave everything, when he gave his life. You follow me? Feeding the multitudes was awesome, but it didn't satisfy him. Healing the sick was a wonderful thing, and he loved to do it, but it didn't satisfy him. Raising the dead, as glorious as it was, didn't satisfy him. Preaching the Sermon on the Mount, thousands of people there, it would satisfy me, but it didn't satisfy him. Jesus was satisfied when he gave all. You know when you'll be satisfied? Do you want to know when you will fully release this divine benefit of satisfaction in your life? Is when you give all. When you're full time with the Lord. Because listen, it's not what you're accomplishing, it's with whom you're accomplishing it. Now, did I just hit that home? It's not what you're accomplishing, it's with whom you're accomplishing. Satisfaction comes from a full-time, all-in relationship with Jesus Christ, not in what you do for Him. Not in what you do for Him. And it's received by grace through faith like all the other benefits. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't strive for satisfaction with Christ. That's not how it comes. It comes when we're submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when He is in the saddle, when Christ is on the saddle, and His bridle and His bit are in our mouths, and He's holding the reins and He's turning our lives in the direction that He wants us to go in, that's the only way that we'll truly be satisfied. That's the benefit of satisfaction. That's what it means. That's what it means. Isn't that good? Isn't that a strong word? How many of you want to be satisfied? How many of you want to be satisfied? I do. You know what? We live in a broken, weary, sinful, broken world. But God promises us that He will satisfy us with good things. And I want to live in the satisfaction that He offers. I want all the benefits that God has to give. I want them all. So it requires our all.